Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
For Bills fans. Let's go, Buffalo! By Bills fans.
Only Buffalo is going to win it!
This is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast with Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn and Alex Jones.
This place is pandemonium!
Here's Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn.
And welcome back for another edition of the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn, Alex Jones, wishing you and your family a happy new year. Welcome to 2025, where it's week 18 and the Buffalo Bills have already locked up the 2 seed. As we, kind of talked about last week, that all they had to do was win against the Jets. They won convincingly. So now they're in a position here where they can potentially rest their starters in this one. Before we get into it too much here, Alex, it took a while. It started slow, but that Jet game felt pretty darn nice.
Yeah, it did, Brad. I completely agree. They really just chewed them up and spit them out. It showed, to be honest with you, how bad the Jets were comparatively to the Bills. They just had their way with them.
Yeah, I mean, from start to finish, the Jets could do no right and the Bills could do no wrong, especially to Aaron Rodgers, who could do no right in this one. Was sacked in the end zone for a safety, tying the all-time being sacked quarterback, breaking or tied with Tom Brady. And then it wasn't long after there, a couple more sacks, sacked 4 times in the afternoon. So Aaron Rodgers is now the most sacked quarterback of all time and still stands at 499 touchdown passes.
That is, honestly, it's a bit hilarious that that's the case.
Right? It is. It's
funny. You kind of love it. You love it. Love to see it.
Exactly. And we'll see. Rodgers might be playing his last game on Sunday. I mean, if he stays around and wants to play for the Jets a little bit more, I'm fine with that. It's been just fantastic from the other side looking
in. I mean, yeah, Brad, it's been a bit of a dumpster fire for them. All the talk all offseason was, no, this is our year. This is the year. The Bills take a step back. Sure. And it was nice just to see kind of a fan base that has done nothing get humbled a little bit.
Yes. Well, and I believe the Vegas actually had the Jets as the odd-on favorites to win the division going into the season.
At one point, yes.
Yeah, and they flat-on just fell on their faces here.
Yeah, they did. It's been a brutal year for the Jets. And like you said, they kind of just fell straight down face first into the mud and then somehow sunk lower.
All right, so Josh's numbers were not spectacular in this win, but he didn't have to be. Josh is doing, what he has to do week in and week out. And fortunately, the defense was able to go ahead and force a number of turnovers, picked off Rodgers twice in this one. A couple fumble recoveries in this one. I mean, Josh could just go out there and just play minimal, and that's all he had to do. 18 yards shy of 200 yards through the air. He had 2 touchdowns, but 3 touchdowns, I believe, in total in this game, and Buffalo finds a way and gets it done. The play that I want to point out here is in garbage time, where Tyrell Shavers, who actually led all receivers in receiving with 69 yards on his one reception, when they put him in the slot there, we were watching with some other Bills fans down in Phoenix. I said, watch Shavers right here in the slot. And, of course, Trubisky sends it to him, finds some nice blocking downfield, and just gashes through and off to the races.
And you have to think that's why that was one of the guys that Brandon Bean talked about in his post season press conference. Tyrell Shavers is mentioned by name by him. And so, you know what? It's genuinely impressive that a guy like that was able to take the opportunity that was given to him and, no pun intended, run with it.
And a guy who, he's been a camp favorite in the guy we're watching with here, Mr. Spike, a regular listener of the podcast. We're at his house, and he said, how did you know? I said, I don't know. Someone just told me that Tyrell Shavers, he's been, a camp favorite. I think the last 2 camps he's been in.
Yeah.
It's his second year in the NFL. It was first year practice squad, mainly practice squad. He dressed for a couple of games. He's maxed out. They can't dress him this weekend, unfortunately, or elevate him from the practice squad. But Shavers, it was fun to see. It just kind of come full circle for this guy. So hopefully we'll see him continue to take steps forward, maybe make a spot on this roster at some point down the road.
Yeah, absolutely, Brad. He's looked incredibly good. That was a dominant performance from him. I know it's one catch, 69 yards, but he caught that thing, broke a tackle, and was straight to the house.
I'm curious in this one, because I heard it thrown out today, and I hadn't even thought about it. Do the Bills consider going into this game? Josh is probably going to play one series. He has a streak of over 140 consecutive starts. Keep that intact, of course. But after a series, maybe two, I bet it's one series. We'll see Mitchell Trubisky come in. Do you think it's worth for them to even consider the thought of elevating Mike White into a backup spot for this game?
I mean, I don't see why it wouldn't be. It would make sense to do that. Bring a guy up who has, some starting experience in the NFL, who's a guy who can provide you with a little bit of something off the bench in case you need a backup. It would make a lot of sense to do that, actually, Brad.
The other thought I heard, and it's an intriguing thought, if you will, is do they just, use Trubisky, and if they need to use another quarterback, just have Ty Johnson take Wildcat snaps?
Yeah, maybe. That wouldn't also be the worst. That'd be rather fun, but I think you'd call up Mike White. You're not elevating guys for this game, and you've used up a lot of your elevations already, in all honesty. So you might as well use it for this, It makes sense to do it.
Yeah. And, the good news in this one is it's an opportunity this week for the Bills to try to get some guys healthy going into this Week 18 matchup, because the postseason's around the corner. We all know New England was, I think, the very first team who was mathematically ruled out of the playoffs. So they're, where they are has been marked for a while. And it's interesting. The Patriots have a chance to get the number one overall pick, but right now they're trying to win this game. Drake May, who has had a finger hand issue, they've said, limited practice the last 2 days, but set to start in this one. So curious. I think that's a sign of a team that, still has fight left in them, that they still want to beat a team who's going to rest all their backups in this one, i.e. the Bills have been in this position on the opposite side with New England, so it's a funny thought to think about, but curious position here for the New England Patriots.
Yeah, it is, Brad. It is it's a weird one for them. Patriots fans probably aren't used to it. And I'm going to be honest, I think there's a good chance that the Patriots win this game. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that the Bills are one of the best teams in the NFL. Even their backups are starters on most teams.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, it also makes sense to lose this game, right? You got nothing. You're not playing for anything.
Correct.
You're playing for nothing.
Yep.
You're just playing because you literally have to.
Yep. It's the last game. It's on the schedule. I was like, if they made, forfeiting games something that you could do, that would be an interesting move. But there'd be so much lost revenue on ticket and all that the NFL, I think, would never ever consider such thing. But if there was, I'm sure a lot of coaches out there would be like, yep, we'll forfeit. Give us a loss. We're good. We don't even need to play.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. Genuinely, it makes a lot of sense because it's like, hey, not risking injury. I'm not risking anything at all to possibly have this guy get hurt. And he's a major player. Let the starters play for a single series. Bring him in after that. And just say, or bring him, take him out after that. Take everybody who's not necessary, who's the your skeleton crew, as it were, and just put them in the game and let them run it out.
All right, Some announcements were made today concerning the Pro Bowl. Buffalo has two starters in the Pro Bowl this year, not just on the roster, starters in this one. Josh Allen and Deion Dawkins, which is great, and I'm very happy. The thing that Josh was an alternate last year and years prior is just, yes. I don't know, shakes my head on this. But the thing that has me shaking my head now is James Cook not getting in the Pro Bowl. He's a first alternate, him and Connor McGovern, who actually, I read that Pro Football Focus actually had him ranked the worst offensive lineman on the Bills. I mean, they still scored well, but he had the lowest score of everyone, and he's a first alternate with James Cook, who I think should be in the Pro Bowl.
I don't disagree. One that actually, I haven't checked the alternate list yet. Spencer Brown should be in the Pro Bowl.
He's a fifth alternate.
He played arguably as well as Deion this year.
Yep.
And Deion's a starter. And so, don't get me wrong, I think that Deion deserves to be a starter. He's had an incredible season. But he's, I think Spencer Brown deserves to be there just as much. I think Spencer Brown really deserves to be an all-star, and I think that it's a little bit of a shame that he's a fifth alternate because he's not the eighth best tackle in the NFL.
To my understanding, too, as far as the way voting works, it's divided into thirds, one-third for the fans, one-third for the coaches, one-third for the players. And it's funny, the fan vote, yeah, the winner of the fan vote was Travis Kelce, who probably down statistically for him compared to years past. It's the power of the Swifties, I got to believe.
Yeah, absolutely, Brad. That would make logical sense.
So, the other alternates here, we already talked about McGovern and Cook. We talked about Spencer Brown. He's a fifth alternate, along with Dalton Kincaid, Reggie Gilliam, and Ed Oliver. Fourth alternate, Terrell Bernard, and a third alternate in DeMar Hamlin. But you know what?
I mean,
I'm sure all these guys would say, I hope we don't even have the option to play in the game or the, yes, the exactly. events or whatever it is because we're playing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's exactly what they would say, Brad.
And it's an honor. If you get to play in the game, you get that honor by you, and that's great and all, but I'm sure these guys could care, and I'm still at that mentality for Josh Allen in my head. And kind of Josh has alluded to it, that the MVP is nice and all, but he cares about the Super Bowl ring, not an MVP trophy.
Yeah, and that's the number one thing. That is the number one thing in everyone's mind is the Lombardi trophy in this building. And to be honest with you, that's the only thought, right? You get into the NFL to win a Lombardi trophy, and it makes sense that all the outside noise is the Bills are kind of like, shut it out. Let's get after the thing that matters.
All right. So the only major pop-up that Sean McDermott really alluded to on the injury report for the Bills this week, right now on the bubble is Hamlin with a rib injury, Rapp, who did play last week with the neck, and Cam Lewis shoulder. But likely not playing, which I would agree with here, is Terrell Bernard, quad injury. From what I heard, McDermott said kind of week to week, day to day. Probably day to day because he's probably not going to play this week. And then Curtis Samuel is battling a rib, so he'll probably not play. We shall see. I'm fine with getting these guys rest. We don't need them now. We need them for the playoffs. This game means nothing. We can lose this game, and we're still the 2 seed. The end.
Yeah, that's exactly it, Brad. I completely agree. You just got to do what you got to do. Rest those guys up. We have the 2 seed locked up. Literally nothing changes for us outside of maybe our opponent this weekend. And I think everybody's rooting for the Bengals to lose.
Yes.
Because that team getting hot is a problem in the playoffs.
Yeah, and let's talk about that right now. First, go ahead and remind you where you can find us across our social media. On Twitter, find Alex at TWCallahanDHS. Find me at Bills Bruiser at DHS Buffalo. Find us at Facebook at facebook.com/BuffaloBillsDraftHouse and DraftHouseSports.com. All right, so the way it works is if Denver wins, they beat Kansas City's backups, they're in. They'll come to Buffalo. If they lose and Miami beats the Jets this weekend, they will come to Buffalo. And in both the Broncos and Dolphins lose, the Bengals would, and they the Bengals win this weekend, the Bengals will come to Buffalo. And gosh almighty, I'm with you, Alex. I do not want to play Cincinnati. I think Buffalo could do good things against that defense, but I remember in January 2023 standing in the snow with my arms crossed watching the Bills just get pulverized by the Bengals. I would not want to see a game like that. I definitely don't want them facing Cincinnati, but it's a possibility at this point.
It absolutely is. It's just one that I wouldn't really like to see fulfilled.
No. Nope. Bengals at the Steelers, so they don't have a pushover this weekend because right now the Steelers are still trying to get their top spot in the division, though they'll probably know what's going on come that time, 8 o'clock kickoff coming up this weekend. So, yeah, we'll see. It's an 8 o'clock Saturday, so with it being a Saturday game, I don't know. We could see Pittsburgh going all out on this one.
Yeah, it is weird. I mean, Saturday game, you have to think like you said, though, they'll know before it starts, but you have to think somebody's, there's a few players on the Pittsburgh team who are still fighting for positions. I mean, you're still fighting for technical playoff, you know what I mean? Like, you're speeding within the wild card, so I don't see them taking their foot off the gas at all.
Well, Browns, Ravens play before them, and if the Ravens win, they win the division, that could make a difference here for Pittsburgh in this one, but if they lose that one, Pittsburgh's got to win this one, and they'll have a home playoff game as opposed to starting things out on the road.
And I think, let me just look. I'm going to look at the standings for...
Right now, the way the playoffs shake up, Kansas City is the one, Buffalo's the two. So we'll see what happens in that three seed between Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Houston has the four seed locked up.
Also the Steelers have something to play for because it also changes the wild card seeding if they lose. It'll be because if the Ravens
they drop
win,
to a six seed, right? If
they would drop to a six seed, which means they're playing they play the Ravens again. Versus the four seed, which is the Texans limping into the playoffs with random guys at wide receiver.
Yeah, and I think you would definitely opt for to get that seed at five to go to Houston because right now, of those teams, Baltimore, Buffalo, and Houston. Oh yeah, Houston definitely by far the most beatable at this point.
And I'll tell you what, that's going to be a tough one. Chargers versus if the Chargers end up getting that five seed. That's a real tough matchup for the Texans.
Yes.
Harbaugh has that team playing very well right now.
Yep, sure does. On the NFC side, I know this is a Buffalo Bills podcast, but might as well talk about it here. Lions and Vikings are doing something that Buffalo and Miami did last year, last game of the season. The winner of this game is going to decide who wins the NFC North and ultimately who gets the one seed. So, I mean, from a 1 to a 5, it could happen.
13 win 5 seed, which is crazy to think about.
Insanity. Because right now it would be a 14 win 5 seed. They're both 14-2 right now. 14?
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Wow.
That is rough, to say the least.
Yep.
You know, you think coming into the season, you're like, all right, 14, that's easy, the number one seed. We're talking about number one, you know, we're talking about being number one seed, figuring out playoff bye, all that stuff. And you're like, nope, you got to play for the division.
If it ended right now, the way it looks, Minnesota would be going to Tampa, which sounds easy enough, but I'm sure they'd much rather be home and have a bye.
Brett, Tampa's a tough out in the playoffs. Baker Mayfield's one of those dudes who just, when the brights get brightest, like last year against the Eagles, the Buccaneers nobody gave them a shot of winning that game. And they went in there and shocked the Eagles, knocked them out in the first round.
I do weekly NFL picks, and I swear, if I pick the Buccaneers, they lose. If I don't pick them, they're going to win. I mean, I can't count on them to do what I want them to do, to win, to lose. I can't count on them this year. So, no, that's a very good argument here that, yeah, they can be sneaky good come the postseason. Baker Mayfield under the lights, that adrenaline pumping through his veins. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. He is an absolute problem, in all honesty, Brad, in the playoffs.
All right, well, the Buffalo Bills already have their postseason all set. They'll be hosting whoever gets the seventh seed. So like we said, could be the Denver Broncos. It could be the Miami Dolphins, and it could be the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't know. Right now, the way Kansas City's played, their backups are playing. Carson Wentz is starting. I'd be tough-pressed to see Denver losing that game, but I don't know. So anything's possible. It's a rookie quarterback who's kind of digressed a little bit, regressed.
Yes, but you have to think, you know, anything's possible. I mean, it behooves Kansas City more than anyone else to get Denver in the playoffs. Weirdly enough, it actually is better for them to win because I don't think Kansas City's scared at all about Denver. Kansas City legitimately, if Joe Burrow's hot, that's a problem for everyone in the AFC playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He is an incredibly talented player, and we've seen year after year, when you put incredibly talented players in positions to succeed where they get on a little bit of a hot streak, they can take over the playoffs. They can make a run at it.
Now, you and I have kind of made a point and made a vow in this podcast that we wouldn't do Buffalo Bills predictions just over fear of jinxing and superstitions and whatnot. But, hey, I still think that we can predict the way other teams do. Who do you see locking up the seventh seed this weekend?
I don't know why. It just feels like the Broncos are going to fumble this bag. It feels like a classic, you know, rookie quarterback thing to be like, ah, yes, he's a phenom. And then it's like, he regressed. We got way too ahead of ourselves. Even the backups, like, it just feels like they're going to, I don't know why. It's just my gut feeling.
Indications I've seen this week, too, indicate that Huntley is going to be starting for Miami. Fear that Tua is not going to be able to play this week with his nagging injury. I don't know. The Jets are terrible. I would expect Miami to win that game. I'm really banking. I think it will be Denver. I think they're going to find a way to win this one. And Miami's just going to miss out.
Is Miami's path Cincinnati and Denver losing?
No.
Essentially?
Nope. They win the tiebreaker over Cincinnati based on the best win percentage in conference games.
That would be a weird one, too. Like, Miami falling butt backwards into the playoffs is just very odd.
Miami 6-5 in conference, Cincinnati 5-6.
That is not the record. Not what if you had bet me $1 million headed into the season, hey, the Bengals will lose to Miami on a tiebreaker. I'm like, did Joe Burrow get hurt? What? It just the Bengals for whatever reason are just such a slow starting team.
Well, and then one thing I want to say about Denver, if you want to go old adages and talking about, you know, last time Denver came here, last time they came here, the Bills lost to them. They lost on a Monday Night Football game. They should have won with too many people on the field on a missed field goal, and they got another shot, and they won. I don't think there'd be any fear of something like that happening this time around.
No, that was, I think,
different circumstances. That was Ken Dorsey was still the offensive coordinator.
That was the last
it was very, very different. Diggs, obviously, Gabe Davis was still on. Things were totally different. It'd be a night and day different scenario should the Bills meet Denver.
It's also one of those things that Sean McDermott specializes in terrorizing young quarterbacks. You know, the Bills will be I have faith in whoever the Bills take on.
Yeah, me too. It's just a matter of who at this point. So we'll find out. We will know everything by Monday morning and where things stand. But right now, the way it looks, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is, Brad.
Final thoughts here as we get set to wrap up the final week of the regular season here in the NFL.
You know, just doing some pre-work on the NFL draft, there's kind of, I know people, some people would say there's Bills have a couple, they don't really have any crazy glaring needs like years past. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with this group. You think maybe offense, interior offensive linemen, a wide receiver.
Yeah.
But then you start doing the math on that. Let's say hypothetically Amari Cooper resigns. There's not really a lot of snaps there. Safety would be a big one, but if it doesn't work, the only other one that might make sense is corner if Rasul Douglas doesn't re-sign. But he seems to really love it in Buffalo, and with the Bills getting a bunch of that money back on after the Diggs trade, I could see them having a little more money to spend in free agency this year.
Yeah. And I would expect them to, maybe bring Cooper back on a 1-2 year contract. Put out some flyer deals like that. I'd like to see Mac coming back. I could easily see that not having enough room for Mac Hollins on this roster.
Is Mac on a 1-year deal?
Yeah, he is. He's on a 1-year.
Okay.
I'm 95% sure Mac Hollins is on a 1-year deal. All right. While we go ahead and verify that, we'll go ahead and remind you, go ahead and find us across
our...
What's that? I'm sorry?
1 year, $2.6 million.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I'd love to see him re-sign, same contract.
I would too, but we'll see. We'll see how crowded the room is at this point. But right now, I think all attention is on this team, and they're pushing to the playoffs. A lot healthier than they were in years past, especially last year. It felt like scotch tape down the stretch. There are injuries on this team, but guys are resting this week. Guys are starting to get healthy. I think there's a lot of promise for this team, and we look forward to being along the ride here for a push in the postseason.
Absolutely, Brad.
All right, a reminder again for you to go ahead and find us across our social media. Find Alex on Twitter at TWCallahanDHS. Find me at Bills Bruiser at DHS Buffalo, DraftHouseSports.com, and on Facebook at Buffalo Bills Draft House. For Alex Jones, I'm Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn. Go Bills.
This has been the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast.
Available on Spotify, Odyssey, Prime Music, Audible, or wherever you get your podcasts.
An R Street Media production.